Yo, check us out. Chuck D, Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DOC, the Diggy Diggy motherfucking God.
Yo, what's up? This is your boy, Z-Man.
What up, dog? This is E-Shot.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
It's your boy, DJ Paul KOL from 36 Block.
Young Busy Bone.
Vice Warp.
It's your man, Mastermind of Hellraiser.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Red.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross, and you're listening to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
I'm telling you, very musically inclined. He has a hell of a story. I mean, he went to prison at, 16, you know what I'm saying? And part of a New Orleans supergroup, with the one and only Ice Mike. Those of you who don't know who Ice Mike is, he's, man, a lot of dope production from him, I'm telling you. We're going to bring him on right now. He's got a brand new album out, Winning Season. You can check it out. Spotify, it's all over the internet. Talking about Box a Million. Box, how you doing, brother?
What's the album with you, Prez? What's the album with you?
Man, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
No, it's an honor. It's an honor, man. But first and foremost, how have you and yours been holding up during this this fucking pandemic, man? This shit's crazy.
Man, this shit, wow, man. We holding up, been blessed through it. Been losing more people more and more, more people I'm knowing, every few weeks somebody I'm either close to or 6 degrees of separation or grew up with, grew up under, So it's like you're losing somebody at least every other week, But outside of that, man, you just got to keep your head up and your sanity straight, because this shit, you don't know what's up, what's down, what's left, what's right, You don't know nothing around this shit no more, pretty much.
No, you don't. No, it's very unpredictable, and they got all these new strains, and, like you said, it hits home when you start, finding out that people got it. We just had the homie Uncle Beats on the show from Chicago, and he was in a coma for 7 days, He, he was almost out of there, so, one of the fortunate ones to be able to tell his story. But you as an artist, though, too, on the other side of things, this has really fucked up the, performances, shows, things of that nature. How do you compensate for that? Like, what do you do to get, the same type of effect that you get from those shows?
Really, to be honest, man, all you could do really is work the internet. That's the only thing you really do. Like, I've been offered a few shows here and there, but I got my oldest son is 11 and my youngest twin girls, they're 6. So a lot of things I don't want to go out there and risk doing a lot of these shows, because I've had shows come up And even some things came across the table when Rhyme Animal was moving last year. They wanted us to move around. But it was just like, nah, I ain't gonna do it. Because I got the coronavirus last month, December, but it wasn't bad. Lost my taste, my smell. My wife had it. You know, we self-quarantined early December. It wasn't too bad. You know, I'm a vitamin workout kind of guy and doing health stuff. So we was able to whip it in a couple of days and just really lost taste, smell, had a little body aches. But risking it on a bigger scale and then trying to bring it back home to my kids, just doing it that way was putting them on the other end of the house most of the time. You know what I'm saying? But trying to move around and really make the impact that I wanted to make, that I planned to make with winning season, man. I missed the mark with that. Because winning season pretty much is an outside project. I made it to perform. I made it to do a lot of things, and I'm not able to do it. So I'm definitely feeling that aspect of it.
Yeah, man, because it's a phenomenal project. You know, we're going to play some music from it. You know, you sent me some bangers off of it, but this project has you know, over 20 something cuts on it, man. How long were you working on it, man? How long did it take you to complete it?
I've been working on winning season since 2016. It actually, like, maybe 4 or 5 songs survived Determination, Overdue, and Winning, and it landed on Winning Season, because Overdue actually was the concept of Winning Season and what Winning Season is, what Overdue was initially supposed to be. But over time, all I did was just take my time with it, just record songs and put it to the side and put it basically what was related to the title of Winning Season. So I just was like, these songs are related to this, so it's going to go to Winning Season. And, you know, intermittently through that, I dropped other music. So Winning Season was something that for really the past 4 years that I was piecing together for to drop it to say, I'm back, this is my arrival, I'm Boxing Million, this is closing out the saga of Determination and Overdue, and bam, Winning Season. And that's how I kind of tried to plan it, and I guess the pandemic had another plan for me. So I just went along with it and was like, because I didn't know how it was all going to turn out for the pandemic. So when, like, the last interviews we did, I didn't really even want to speak on it too much, because I was trying to say, I don't know if the pandemic going to turn a corner and I'm going to just come and be like, here you go, boom, boom, boom. And it didn't go that way. So I was like, I'm not going to hold it back. I got to let it go, because I'm on to some other stuff musically that I want to do, other content, other ways I want to maneuver with music. So I had to get Winning Season out the system, because it was just, it started, you know, from just leftover songs with a concept, and then it went into me when that what happened to my leg and the death of my mother and everything else. So I just, with all the pain and everything, I just said, let me dump into it and say, it's time to win. I'm tired of losing, you know. And that's what came about Winning Season. So I said, man, let me just let it go, get it over with, and try to work the internet and try to get some syncs and try to get some placements, do whatever I can with it while I can with it, and move on to the next thing.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, yeah, man, winning is what you're about, because you're a survivor. You know, like I said, the opening of the show, you end up going to prison when you were 16, man. Tell me about that, man. What was your life like as a, you know, a juvenile growing up in New Orleans?
Man, really, at 16, really in New Orleans, at 16 years old, you kind of operate as if you're in your early 20s. So 16 in New Orleans is kind of like you're grown already. 20, 25 is like you're an OG. So by the time Katrina hit, I pretty much was a young OG in a sense. Like, I survived a lot. So just being 16 in New Orleans, man, it's adaptation. You know what I mean? Because, you know, artistically I'm different. The way I think, I'm different. But it's also about adapting to your environment and also what's hereditary to you. You know, my mom, God bless the dead, my father, they were great at shielding us from our lineage, in a sense, to trying to keep you away from certain things that was always, where I could say Hereditary are always prevalent in New Orleans. So they tried, but by the time you become a preteen and you jump off the porch and you seeing things, and this one's saying, I know your daddy, I know your mom, I know your uncle, I know your grandpa, I know your brothers, I know your cousins, and you start feeling like, hold up, this is what I'm supposed to be, you know? And it's just like different nuances. New Orleans is such a great place, beautiful people, beautiful culture, beautiful spirit, but on the other side of a coin, it's as if it's the survival mentality of a third world country, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's very, you know, just about, I want to say, 75% of the people I've interviewed from New Orleans in the hip-hop game have, you know what I'm saying, suffered some kind of serious, whether it be losing a loved one or being shot up, you know what I'm saying, getting caught up in the prison system. It sounds like New Orleans is just it's just really, really struggling, you know. And how are things now? I know you don't live there now, but I know you talk to your people and everything. How are things now in New Orleans?
Yeah, my baby sister still lives there. Yeah, she has three sons. I got a lot of my first cousins, second cousins, a lot of close friends. I try to visit as much as I want. And New Orleans is the thing is this, New Orleans is an export city. New Orleans is a city built on tourism, so that's what the politics cater to. And it's also a chocolate city, and majority of the people there are disenfranchised, but they always find a way to survive. And when you look at a lot of places like that, really around the globe, and when people are able to overcome, or able to have the fortitude, they don't invest into the community, into the economy, the ecosystem of them places, because what we're seeing now, like in the global market of finance, when you offset anything, anybody can become economically stable. And I think, you know, for black people for sure, but for majority of the citizens in this country, the main thing is to keep you economically disenfranchised. Because if you can really get up on your paper and really understand and what you need to do of globalization and global economics, you could really come up. So I think in New Orleans, it's a purposely done thing to keep that foot on everybody's neck. Because just like when you hear the most successful people from New Orleans, the things they overcame and they triumphed. You know, like, it's a lot of ghettos. There's ghettos all over America. We get that straight right there. But it's like in New Orleans, it's a different stigma put on top of those ghettos. It's like you have to go through the already ghetto situations, and then on top of that, you have to just survive. You know what I mean? Like, you're all right, you thrive in the ghetto, cool. It's a lot of stories, great stories from the East Coast to the West Coast to the North to the South on surviving it. But then in New Orleans, you put a whole nother stigma on top of that. And then you take the whole oppression from way throughout history, and you throw all that together, you mix it up from the Haitian Revolution on back to the Louisiana Purchase to Katrina to everything, and you just throw all that in a gumbo pot. You say, here y'all go, survive all this. And whoever could fight until a debt, that's the one who's going to be successful. And that's how it feels in New Orleans, you know? And even to this day, it's just like, from what I see and from when I talk to people and from what I visit, it's just really opportunity, man. It's so many people down there. If you're giving the correct, proper opportunity that the American dream is really founded upon, that the people really want it, man, some amazing things can happen in New Orleans, you know. It's really, when you look at a lot of things, you look at a lot of the sound of the way hip-hop is going now, it's a lot of the elements of what the last 5 years is pretty much elements of our music. So imagine if we were put an economic base there, what can come out of that? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Money, I mean, money could really help a lot of situations, just like the bullshit water in Flint, Michigan, and several other cities around the country. We can easily replace those pipes, you know what I'm saying? Easily. If they can get $1.9 trillion, I think it is, for stimulus checks, they can have clean water for children to drink in America. You know,
but the thing about it,
it's just a matter of getting these assholes to do it, you know.
Man, they ain't going to do it because there ain't no money in it. Just like I was saying with the market, what we've seen with AMC and we saw with GameStop. All it took was for a bunch of guys to get into a situation of group economics and say, we all going to focus our energy and our dollars on this. They made $700 million next thing you know, they threw all kind of tariffs and everything else on them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That was a great thing. So imagine like-minded cats like me, you, Exit, everybody, we sitting at a table, but they know they're not going to give us that type of money because they know what we would do. And that's the whole thing about it. Then it turned to a dog.
Not
going to
give the Murder Master music show a time. I already know, man. You know what I'm saying? But I feel you, man, 100%, man. But at the same token, they don't understand our visions, you know what I'm saying, and what we could do. You know, just imagine the type of empowerment we could have. Let's say if you open up a music and art center in New Orleans for the youth, you know, the impact that could have would be astronomical. It's just a matter of getting the funds and getting these assholes to work with people, and they don't want to do it. They just want to line their own pockets. You know what I mean?
I know.
But I'll tell you what, man, it's a real conversation right here, as always. Let's give them a track, and then I want to come back. We got Brother Exit, and then, of course, we got Sin in France. I know they want to chop it up with you as well. Man, let's give them this one. This is a dope track right here, From the Ground Up. Tell them about this banger.
From the Ground Up is produced by my brother MT. And it was something I was working on for a few years, just toying around with the ideas. You know, it's featuring my wife on the hook and myself. And I was just basically what we just was talking about, building from the ground up. You keep them fake motherfuckers from around you. And we trying to build it from the ground up, brick by brick, brick by brick. And that's for everybody I rock with, the correct circles I'm around, the correct people I'm around. You know, let's build. You know what I'm saying? So I always tell people, either you here to build or destroy. If you here to destroy, get the fuck from around me. If you here to build, let's go brick by brick, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely, man. Couldn't have said that better. We'll be right back with Box a Million. Don't go nowhere.
Break my heart.
In a position behind enemy lines, most times trying to find your way is painful.
Your breakthrough, killing the God in you is what they can't do.
Focus on the bullseye, but seems I ain't perfected my aim, no.
Focus on what you can do.
Certain it was almost perfect.
Just keep working, remember your purpose.
Then you picked this worthless.
But you know what your worth
true
is. Who bring it back when it's needed?
Me.
That's what you do, babe.
Make a way where it ain't none.
See that your daughters too, how you follow through.
Y'all the reasons I do what I do. Make moves for the crew.
True. Moves and show you how to win. Do you begin greater?
It's greater later. It's all about how you finish. I went in to win. Thanks for the encouragement.
You know I got you, love.
You my best friend.
Oh, sit down. Just no black man, I'll be around. Oh, sit down. Then talking, shine your crown.
Defy all the odds.
Work through all our problems.
Nothing won't slow us down to the end
of time. I'm around.
Can't let nothing slow us down. I'm a king, see the crown.
With your queen by your side.
Find a way somehow.
To avoid the impossible.
We
got a lot to do.
For me and you.
Attack, forget neglect, could never let the negative be your sedative. The future's too imperative, control a narrative, build pyramids. You see, they don't let us live. Agendas to get our kids, that's why we build a bed. Investing on where we live, show them it's ownership, grow them to love the skin they in. It's send them to win, fake, we in it to win, from beginning to end. Dead, we in it to win, from the beginning to end.
You my best friend. Oh, sit down, just no black man, I'll be around. Hold you down, sit down, sit in place.
now.
Box a Million, the project, available right now, winning season. And, you know what I'm saying, that right there, that's dope because you got the family involved.
Yeah.
You know, that's got to make you feel proud to be able to do that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man, that one there was side by side. My wife was on the From the Ground Up. That's the other one I sent. But that one there is side by side. That one there, I had that track for a long time. Hug made that track for me in 2016, and I came up with the concept. It was just having all them children and getting my wife to do the hook at a time, and she finally did it. That was one of the last ones I finished up when she did it. And as far as my kids, man, I just try to feel them out and see which one of them going to really want to do it, just getting them really acclimated and getting everything situated for them so they could just ease on into it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I was looking over your bio, and it said that you were into other genres of music as well.
Yeah.
Do you plan on doing, like, any projects? You said I think you were into alternative rock, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, yeah.
Contemporary?
Alternative rock. Yeah, contemporary alternative, like, in the mid, one of the songs I did on an EP with Shank Nasty, an underground artist from Virginia. I'm messing with it, and I'm great at it, and I'm good at it, and I've done shows with it before. It's just when it, I want to perfect it more and get more into it once I really could get Box a Million where I want it to be. Because as far as Box a Million, it's just now is with winning season is me really taking all the way full control of my independent career and pushing the hip hop to another level. And then I really want to dig off into alternative rock and world music more. It's just really about me actually going to be trained in vocals and trained more into instrumentation. That's really what it is. Naturally, I could croon a little, but I want to actually go take lessons and really tap into that, hopefully going into the next 3 or 5 years or so.
That's dope. You know, a lot of people, man, they don't think outside the box. You know, that's why I like ZZ Top, because you can't really put those guys in one box. You know what I'm saying? They everything. You know,
yeah.
And there's a few people in hip hop that are like that too, like Chuck D for one. You can't just put mm-hmm. him in the hip hop category. That guy covers a lot of ground. You know, who are some of your earlier influences coming up?
Early, oh shit, man. It ranges, man. You got Michael Jackson, you got Biz Markie, Tupac, Nas, you got Creed, Nine Inch Nails, shit, Scarface, man, Ice Cube, Talib, Mos Def, Pharrell Munch, N.W.A., Trick Daddy, man, I Soldier Slim, Mac. Damn near the whole No Limit. Damn near the whole Big Boy.
Yeah, Big Boy, you know, was a monster label.
Yeah, Cash Money. You got Swab House, Rap-A-Lot. I was all over the place. Shit, they go up and down the East Coast. Cool G Rap. Shit, man. Poor Righteous Teachers, man. Dog, it's so much. And when you listen to my music, you could kind of hear, because sometimes I be all over the place. And, you know, I've had some people respect it, and I had some people say, man, you need to get an image, or you need to get one sound, or you need to do this. I'm like, man, I do what the music tell me.
Do what the music, you know what I'm saying? Do what you feel, you know? It's always good to get input, but at the same token, you have the ability to really absorb all kinds of different music. Exit Only is the same way. I've told him, you know, he could come different on every other track, you know what I'm saying?
Fucking right.
You know, speaking of Exit Only, here he is. What's up, Exit?
My brother, Bob.
You know I like to catch you off guard.
My brother.
Man, my bad. I always be working, man, even when I'm doing something else, we still doing what we do. I mean, that's how we keep that thing going.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, my brother, Box, man, it's an honor, man. It's like, well, you know, we know each other, you know, what we do. But it's an honor, you know what I'm saying, to hear you tell your story to the world. Because people need to really and that this thing run deep, and we the evolution of growth and every day we move, because we are living proof that you can evolve and grow, because we done came from a lot to be where we at. So that's, to me, that's living proof that there's something high above, beyond us, and more control. Because it wasn't just me that made it here.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Absolutely. We were talking about that earlier, actually. You know, I mean, in the blink of an eye, things could change. Now, you, Box, you got your name, you know what I'm saying, while you were in prison, man. How did that transpire?
All right. See, it's layers to the name. Like, when I was youth in football, I was 10 years old. And just like my little son, Box, he had to get an adult helmet. And I had to get an adult helmet. It was a coach named Emmanuel Bozeman, Coach B. Anybody from Gretna, we love Coach B. Because we was little bad kids, but Coach B always saw something in us. And we were some of the most elite football players to be that young. And he gave me a nickname, said Shoebox, because I had a shoebox head. And I had to get an extra large helmet at the beginning of the football season when I was 11. So my nickname was Shoebox. And so as time went on, rest in peace, Damian Peanut Higgins. My partner Peanut, he took the shoe off the box and put another X on it when we used to tag stuff, because we used to fight a lot. And I was a good fighter. So it went to Box. Then when I went to prison, my rap name was The Adolescent. And so when I went to prison, but my nickname was, everybody called me Box. And it was this guy named Mark I was locked up with, and he used to say, "Box a million, boy, you gonna be a millionaire. All you do is rapping. Box a million, all you gonna do is be a millionaire when you rapping." So when I got out of prison, everybody, they couldn't call me the adolescent no more, because I went in at 16. I came out as a man, so I wasn't an adolescent no more. So I said, everybody already know me as Box, but then he got Box a million. But you let Slim Dog tell it. Slim Dog said he gave me the million, but I be telling him he didn't. And then it went to Box a Million. With this little chick, she was bilingual, and I was up in her one day, and she said Box a Million, and was speaking Spanish, so that's when that stuck. So all this name really come from, like, the origins is like 93, and Box a Million came about like maybe 2001. So it was a transition from Shoebox to Box to Box a Million to Box a Million, and I just keep it between Box a Million and Box a Million.
Many layers to that, man. Many layers.
Yeah.
It was a process.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
So that's
it was
why,
a process.
That's why, you know, I had conversations, you know, ain't nothing against Cat from Baton Rouge or whatever, the Fox a Million guy. And a lot of people say, "Oh, you too." And then I had people try to come in my inbox and tell me shit years ago. And I was like, "Look, bro, I got nothing against this dude. But I bet you if me and him sat and talked, and I bet you all of his OGs or wherever he probably heard it from, I was locked up with him." You see what I'm saying? And upstate Louisiana, because that's back when Baton Rouge was four up and four down. And that's years and years, the 90s of OG Baton Rouge niggas. Shout out to all of them that remember me from being locked up. You know what I'm saying? And that's probably where they got it from, because the whole prison yard used to be Box a Million, Box a Million. We shut the whole prison yard down with talent shows, man. You know what I mean? I was me and another guy, and that was the youngest guys in there. We got convicted under the Biden and Clinton law. I was in the news.
Biden. Yeah. Yeah, that's what he's trying to undo now, he keeps saying. He's trying to – he's in a hurry. Yeah, too late, man. Yeah, you're right. 20-something years worth of unjust incarceration.
You put a 16-year-old on a prison dorm doing 24-1 for a year and a half. I'm already psychologically dead. It's already done. You know what I'm saying? It's already done.
Yeah.
Imagine, you know, we all got kids. Imagine your child, 16 years old, walking up and down a dorm with lifers for a year and a half and could only come out the cell to take a shower for 1 hour. That was my life as a kid. You know what I'm saying?
Horrible.
That's some shit.
How did you survive, man? How did you not just physically but mentally?
You gotta have fortitude, man. And I ain't gonna lie, I ain't gonna say I'm the super hardest guy in the world, but I was about my own. But I was blessed to be around people who saw something in me. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of them was clowning, joking, laughing with me. Juvenile rap something, you know? So I was the dude in the cell blocks rapping all the time. And God bless the day, my Uncle KK, he ended up being in there too. He was trying to get the guards to let me stay in Hunts. And they was like, no, we can't have him in there with you. You're going to be wilding out. So I survived just being on the dorm with all of these dudes with life. And they was teaching me stuff, more building upon what I already knew as far as intelligence, knowledge itself, and also how to be a better criminal. So by the time I did get shipped, I got shipped. When I went to the Quincy, I met up with my partner Seville. He was the one one of the dudes I caught the charge with. And then I got up there. Everybody knew my dad, knew my uncles, knew my grandpa, knew my brothers, and it was people I was around that didn't see me since I was 6, 7 years old, 5 years old because I'm really from the Ninth Ward. I grew up in Gretna on the West Bank. So when I got in there, they like, man, what you doing in here? I ain't seen you since you was in DeBoray Elementary and miss you somewhere. You know what I'm saying? So I got in there and all them knew my brothers. I got in one of the receiving tears, dude got on the phone with my dad. Sure. Yeah, he gave me some shower slippers and a can of cigarettes. He said, that's my nephew right there. And I'm like, I don't even know you, man. You know what I'm saying? And it was just on the screen, and he grew up with my dad. You see what I'm saying? I knew my grandpa, my panu, across the canal. You know what I'm saying? So I was just like, okay, for sure. So through it all of me understanding and navigating the streets, and also through relationships of me being one of, I got a big family in New Orleans. You know what I'm saying? And then also me being able to be a kid entertainer. A kid entertainer can entertain anybody, you know? And I had a couple of little brushes or whatever, but it really wasn't nothing. Because a lot of my OGs was there. A few things I did get into, like my big homie Raymond and all of them, used to be like, about to go handle that juvenile. I was flat time. So I had to do all my time straight through. It was no such thing as a good time, long as I ain't catching another charge. So when it's time to fight, time to do anything, I was front line, you know? So it was just really doing what you had to do and making it home. That's the main thing, is making it home, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and here you are today to talk about it and share it with people, you know, who might be going through something similar right now. You know, shout out to the homie Gangsta Crow. He just did, he's been locked up since 2011. He gets, he's down there, he's in prison in Sao Paulo, Brazil. He gets to come home, I think it's 2 weeks every 3 months for the next 7 years. And if he can do good during that, then they'll let him out. So, man, he's, you know, it's good to see him, you know, be able to see his parents, his family. He went in as a kid, too. He was 17, you know. Matter of fact, he did a video for us for our first compilation, and then a few weeks later, man, that's when he caught the charge and he went away. So, man, we're fortunate to have him. We're fortunate to have you, man, both you guys back in the free world, so to speak. He's still in there, though. You know, it's fucked up that he has to wait every 3 months and just gets a little taste, and then they send him right back, you know. But at least he gets something. A lot of guys don't get nothing.
Yeah, man, for real, man. I ain't touched a jail cell since 2004. So I'm blessed, and that's why that's one of the
huge.
Thank you, man. That's one of the main reasons why I'm in North Carolina. Like, I had the opportunity to go to Houston right after Katrina. I moved up here for a little before I bought a house, got married, and everything. And I was talking it over with my wife, and I was like, I might go back to Houston, right? And one time, when I brought her to New Orleans for the first time, and when we stopped in Houston, you heard me? I ain't going to say the block and where we was. And I was just like, come roll with me. Like, my wife from the hood in Seven City, Virginia, but she not a hood chick, you heard me? So I'm like, let's go pull up in Houston. You heard me? We pull up. And she said, no, indeed. I ain't. She was like, we not moving here. I pulled up on all my partners, and she was like, nah. And New Orleans 6 hours away. So it was like, nah, this is the best thing for me. Let me stay up here out the way. You know what I mean? You know, because that's one thing, too, about New Orleans and the Gulf Coast, period. You sometimes you dip your toe in that Mississippi River, bro. You know what I mean? You feel all kind of things coming back. You know, something in that water.
Well, you know, I mean, it's a situation where it was better for you to get out of that environment, man, because you know, it just sucks you back in, like you said.
That's why I know my triggers. You know, when you become older and you're able to know your reflection and know the mirror, know where you're wrong at, know where you're toxic at, know where you're right at, know where you love at, know where you hate at. You know what I'm saying? When you can understand and pinpoint them triggers as you become older and as you mature, and you can point them out and say, okay, that's not for me, that's a great thing. And that's what I thank God for real, all jokes aside, is that I was able to mature enough to start noticing, like, okay, this is my trigger. I can't be around this. This is what makes me feel this way.
Yeah.
I can't be around. You know what I'm saying? And I've evolved to that. And that makes me a better man and be a better father, better husband, better friend, better brother. You know what I'm saying? Better uncle, better cousin, et cetera. Just to know that I could look in the mirror and say, okay, I don't like that. This is what I have to do to change it, even if I love it. Like, I'm a New Orleans dude, bro. Like, I love the city. I'm New Orleans up and down. But I know being there for an extended period of time is not good for me.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like that for a lot of us, man. It's like me in the Windy City. I had to get out of there when I was about 16 or 17, or I would have ended up in a situation like you. You know, I was doing some hard drugs. You know what I'm saying? I was experimenting with things I shouldn't have been. Maybe a little too much, LSD or PCP or whatever the fuck. I didn't care, man. I got to the point where I was just like, fuck it. And when you get to that point, man, you're going to die or you're going to go to jail. You know, I mean, that's...
Yeah.
You got to get out of there. You got to get out. You know, I got the. I think I got the right track from the ground up right now. We're gonna go to that. Then I'm gonna. So guys, you gotta understand, we're not perfect, man, because we have many, many fuck ups. Just listen to the archive. But we're gonna play this song, and we're gonna bring on the homie Sin. You know what I'm saying? I know he's got some questions. I know X is with us too, so we'll be right back.
I define getting it from the mud. Ain't never ran from the plug. I doubled up. And he broke it all better the next time. I come from the era where it was a plethora of dope and coke, and we broke it all down to dimes. The 20s was only a certain cop could move around anywhere in the city and run him up and could survive the penitentiary. No disguise where we resided, it was infamy. Envy was dealt with quick, picked up for enemies. Turned everything to left for your interest. So much liquid, have on the cush, we mixed it. One hit, third eye wide open, embracing your demons, escaping the scheming in the mind state. Whatever it takes, we eating, holding your nigga. And your arms leading out. Holy Lord, holy Lord, put a strap to bullshit. So much we lost just to gain a little bit of fame, a little bit of change. Head ain't changed shit, but the fact remains the shit.
Round up.
A minimum, most they heads full of helium. I don't be feeling them. White prayers against omens, I'm jacking and killing them. Cause the fact they act ain't the actions of men with real in them. They spill venom, they tell tales, they tell signs, they tales tucked in it behind. Hit
rewind, check their history, and never was in them. Could tell I'm one of the clever, still here, gray hair filling in, masculine adrenaline, only like energy feminine in my women. That's why this rap shit, I don't be fitting in. They all caps and live streams, and wonder why the fans be getting them. Old rules, I'm still living them. Wet my old dudes like an emblem. I know you see it, no need to speak it. Never reach it, I keep it decent, just be cooling. Not too accessible, you can't use me, stand up credible. Never foolish, nigga, never stupid. Trust me, them spirits will never leave. It damaged me. Hard to handle, but still stand on planet feet. A planet sees a planetary. This season God granted me. Let no man breach. I teach you a lesson to stick in a hand of a blessing. Look for your hand in my cookie jar. I know what it really means to say I took a loss. I took a job because the streets ain't the streets no more. Plus, I be damned. I don't see my seeds grow to be adults. Cross my heart, swear to God. That's what keep me off y'all ass. That my palms pressing my queen's hand. Through a looking glass, so next time you ask what's up, it's nothing much, just that finish line. It's about that time, nothing to no one standing in between me getting mine.
Yeah, Alexander, Napoleon, I know them all. I read them all, I studied them all. I know the art of fight, I know the art of war. That's all I ever studied. That's why I'm so feared. That's why they feared me when I was in the ring. Cause that's what my, I was annihilated. That's all I was born for. Now those days are gone, it's empty, I'm nothing. I'm working with being the art of humbleness. Can you believe in me? That's the reason why I'm crying, cause I'm not that person no more. And I miss them. Cause sometimes I feel like a bitch. Because I don't want that person to come out, cause if he comes out, hell is coming with him. And it's not funny at all. It must sound cool, like I'm a tough guy. It's just that I hate that guy.
Real deep. I like how you got Tyson on there. That guy can really get into it. I mean, I love the person he's become. You know what I mean? Because he was on a path to total destruction.
Man, when I saw that interview, that's what made me take that clip. Because it came in. Like when I first saw it, my cousin, shout out Rico, love Rico, had sent me that shit. He said, bro, listen to this shit. And I listened to it, bruh. And when I listened to it, bruh, you could see it in my face. I was like, man. And that whole interview was like, Jesus Christ. And I already respected Tyson, but that pushed it to the roof for me with him because I understood what he was saying. Because it's so many times you sit back in your life, you be like, man, I missed who I was. But you know what I'm saying? And you gotta catch yourself. I just was saying that. You gotta look in the mirror and be like, nah, bro, that ain't who you are. You know what I mean? You gotta evolve and you gotta grow. You know what I'm saying? And that's how I was feeling on that song. So I said, I'm gonna put that at the end of the song, and I took the hook off the last part and put that on there.
I think that's how we as men, what he's saying is that's pretty much how we stop from killing someone in a fucked up situation. You know what I mean? I mean, because we always in there. It could be the checkout line. It could be anywhere. And all it takes is 2 seconds before
two
you
seconds.
Put your hands on somebody. You know what I'm saying? And once you put your hands on somebody, you're fair game
That's
to
it.
Be blown away, whatever. So
you got to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, man. You got to humble yourself, man. We're like he said, man, we're just a small thing in this giant universe, man. We're nothing. We're fucking nothing. We're dust. Yeah, man.
Real shit.
Yeah, we're like what's that cartoon, man? Back in the day, Horton Hears a Who, man, on this little tiny fucking thing floating around. It's another world.
Real shit.
You know.
Real shit. Real shit.
Yeah, man. It's infinite space. That's why I always tell myself it's infinite space. Man, the sun farts one time and we're all dead. You know what I'm saying? One solar flare and we're fucked. You know, but people don't want to, you know, they don't want to come to a realization. They're too arrogant. You know what I'm saying? They're stuck in their own existence to think that, hey, man, we're really nothing. Like Tyson said.
Now,
that's deep shit, man.
The thing about what I think, Prez, is that when people they choose to be naive, they choose to be arrogant, ignorant, because if they really was to pay attention, I don't think they can mentally stand. Yes. And I think that's the majority of the people in this world, bro.
They don't want to absorb reality. You know what I'm saying? They want to live in their version of reality because the real reality is really just too fucking much for some people. You know,
and that's why I tell people, if you want to be a pink elephant, go over there and be a pink elephant. You know what I'm saying? You want to be a purple giraffe? Go over there and be a purple giraffe. Oh. You know what I mean? I'm over here in reality.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel you. I feel you, man. People are just, you got to come up with your own coping mechanisms, man. And I'm way past that phase everybody wants to kick a mumble rapper in the head, but I'm not at the point where I'm just gonna be dogging them dudes anymore. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to focus solely on talented hip-hop artists and music I like. Another shit can just get out of the way. You know, it doesn't even matter. Doesn't even matter. You know, let's bring on some, some universal, input here. Let's bring on the homie Sin. I know he's got questions, and I want to bring back on Exit, because I'm sure Exit's want to add to this insightful conversation. Exit, Sin, you brothers there?
Guaranteed, my brother. Guaranteed.
All right, man.
Yeah, I'm saying. Hi, Scott. Hi, Maximilian. And
what's going on, brother Sin? Salute to you, brother.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine already. Yeah. Maximilian, tell us about the song "Moment to Strike" you did on the Ice Mike New Orleans producer, legendary on the album New Orleans Bomb Squad.
Moment to Strike. Yes.
Yes, sir.
The Ice Mike sent it, and a lot of people don't know we was recording. Me and Ice Mike pretty much got like maybe two albums together just in his vault. You know, he like the New Orleans Dr. Dre. And during that time, I think that was 13, 14, 15, around them 3 years, he was just sending me shit. And he sent me that the moment the strike is now. And he initially wanted me to do a different kind of flow. But the way I went on that bitch, he was like, it was perfect. And then what he was saying on it too, it meshed well. And he was like, then, and he surprised me, and it was the first song on the project. And I was just like, humble thanks to Ice Mike, because after being here from Katrina and trying to get everything in order, Ice Mike helped me reinvent myself back to New Orleans. So I'm forever loyal to Ice Mike, like forever. You know what I'm saying? If he tell me go walk in the desert looking for a glass of water, I'm gonna go out there look for a glass of water.
Ice
Mike is
legendary producer,
a real contributor of New Orleans pioneer. He was from the group West Bank Coalition. You're from West Bank too. Tim Smith was in peace, in peace. It was a super group, West Bank Coalition. Can you tell us about West Bank and maybe you knew Tim Smith and Trey back the day?
Yeah, I knew Trey 8. I met Tim Smith a couple of times, but one time I had a conversation with him. We were in Terrytown. I was by one of my partner's house. We was going to the corner store, and it's not too long before he passed. And he was in the corner store. And I was like, bruh, since I was a kid, I've been needing to do something with you, da-da-da-da-da. And he was like, man, you know how to find me, hit me up. We could do something, whatever, whatever, whatever. And he remembered who I was from one time doing a show with him at some point, I don't know. But that was respect to me that he remembered me. And as far as Trey 8, me and Trey 8, we got a good relationship. Because I talked to Trey 8 actually right before he took that trip to New Orleans. I don't know, maybe if it was a week or two. Because he said, I got to go to the city when I come back. You send me some music, I'm going to send you some music, and we'll see what we like, and we'll do some features. Because my partner, Seville, that's locked up in Houston right now, he got like 30 years. Seville was over there, and he was like, man, go box. And I was like, what's up? You know what I'm saying? Me and Trey got cool. Really, we first started rubbing shoulders with each other when he was hosting just a little spot in Gretna where we do freestyles. And me and him, bro, I wish somebody had a camera. We was going back and it was epic. We was just going back and forth freestyling against each other. And he was like, bro, you really dope. And I had to remind him, I said, you know who I am, right? And I told him who my sister was. I said, I'm her little brother. Y'all used to come over there and y'all used to chill with my sister, whatever. It was him and his partners and they and my sister and her friends. They all used to be by the house when I was a teenager. And I'm from the tree of G Slim in a sense. Like I met G Slim once as far as Full Deuce Crips concerned. Rest in peace, as far as Full Deuce Crips concerned. I ain't really hang with him or nothing like that. But I met him once, and his set put down our set in Gretna when I was a kid. You know what I'm saying? So through that, I was already – so when I first met Trey 8, I was a kid. When they came to the house, and I just kept walking past him with my blue rag hanging way out my damn pocket just so he could notice. You know what I'm saying? So that's when I first met Trey 8, and then we ran across each other again. We did the freestyles. And then that's when I told him who I was. He was like, yeah. And then we wind up, whenever we see each other, we nod, we dab each other off. Then eventually, he started dealing with my big homie, Kirk from Ricochet Records. So he always was in that studio, and I always was in that studio. And then that's how we really got jam. And I went to keep calling Trey 8 to plump it. You know what I'm saying? Once you start calling him that, you fuck with him. You know what I'm saying? And so we was cool. And I always would see him, you know, and rest in peace, Cheese. All of us used to be around that little clique, you know what I'm saying, by Kirk and Ricochet and them. So we always, you know what I'm saying, recorded music, did whatever. So I don't know what happened to a lot of that stuff from back then. I don't know if Katrina took it away, but we did, like, I did a feature on maybe, like, 4, 5, or 6 songs, you know what I'm saying? And I don't know, ever know what happened to them, you know what I'm saying? You know, Lil E used to be around. That was Platinum Club days, man. Rhythm City days in New Orleans. People from New Orleans know what I'm talking about from that. Just the West Bank, bro, we was a whole bunch of MCs just fighting for their shine, bro, in New Orleans, bro, because you know how it is in New Orleans, the East Bank get more shine than the West Bank. So we was just MCs fighting for shine back then, man. And then it just so happened that my era of MCs of New Orleans, East Bank and West Bank, fell victim to Katrina when it was our time. You know what I'm saying? When all us really started getting the recognition, Katrina happened. And majority of us pivoted and had to live regular life. Like Slick Dub is one of them. You know what I'm saying? We all had to start living regular life after that. You know what I'm saying? And it took all these years to get everything together because you think about it, what it had. Right after Katrina, MySpace came. We're like, what is MySpace? So we had to pivot from selling CDs to try to figure out MySpace. You know what I'm saying? And after you finally got a handle on MySpace, that went away. And then you had, okay, how do I get on iTunes? How do I do this? Okay, nobody going to big studios no more. We get our own home studio. Dang, now we got to figure out how to mix it the right way because your home studio don't come equipped with an engineer. All right, mixing this way, okay, mastering. We always knew that caused money, so now we got to figure out how to master. And then next thing you know, everything SoundCloud and Facebook and Instagram. So, you know. So, you take me back with that question, bro. You just made me think about that whole little space. That whole little space, man. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Ice Mike started as a carrier of Tim Spoons and Trade, of course, yes. So, huge honor to him, too. And also, you talk about Gisley. I mean, it was a real lyricist when I think about the song Come Down to Population Zero. It was a dope lyricist.
Man,
you come from 9-1. Yeah, you came from 9-1 too. So maybe you knew Mr. Ivan by the day. He was over there too.
Now I left the 9-1 when I was 8 years old. As far as living there, no. But my grandmother raised after 9-1. My grandmother, my mom, my aunts. We had the nursery right down North Robinson Street. So everybody know my family and right around the corner. That's why you hear me say 9-1, Park Boys. You know what I'm saying? Rest in peace. You know what I'm saying? Charles, he just died from COVID. You know what I'm saying? Shouts out to his brother B and everybody, the Starling Park 9-1 Boys on Poland. You know, I'm part of that too. That's my first blood. I grew up around there too. So I know some people from around there. from within that nucleus and within me growing up when I was younger. But I rep the Ninth Ward too, but I don't really rep it like that because Gretna to West Bank is where I really got my stripes for real, for real.
Yeah, he's a really talented edge dancer in New Orleans, like a rest in peace Warren Mays. Also, shout out to MCL of Seven Hardhead also.
Yeah, yeah. The crazy thing about it is my cousin is DJ Doc, my first cousin, who actually from Portland and Rampart and all that. And that was Warren Mays' DJ, DJ Doc. One of the original,
yes, sir.
One of the original DJs from New Orleans. DJ Doc is my first cousin, man. Named after my grandpa. Yeah.
Yeah, dope.
Wow. That's history.
Yeah, history. My history runs deep within music in New Orleans, though. You know what I'm saying? Just that I was, I just like I said, the Katrina era caught me. And I, when I really started bubbling and doing everything in the city, and everybody started really paying attention and noticing me as a solo artist, is when all this happened. You know what I'm saying? When Katrina happened, I started changing my life, getting everything together, and all that happened. So this is like, that's what the winning season is about. It's basically me saying I'm finally doing what I set out to do 20 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Finally. It took 20 years for me to say, okay, now I got a full grasp on Box A Million as an artist, and this is what I want to give the world. And winning season is just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you next is, you know, winning season's out there. You know, we want everybody to go make sure everybody goes and gets it. But what do you have in the works?
Oh, man, in the works. This is something I told y'all about last time I was on it. It's an MC project that I'm putting together, working little by little, piece by piece. You know, I'm producing it along with MT and Gills as far as we executive producing it, putting it together with all the MCs I know, and that's my way of doing features with everybody, because I've done a lot of features, some released, some ain't been released, and people always hollering at me for features, and I always say I'm going to return the favor, but I never have a project to return the favor, because when I put out projects, majority of the stuff, more than 50% of it is on my hard drive already, and then I just adapt to it on whatever the sonics is at the time. So I'm putting together that project. It's called Box Equal MC Squared. I'm trying to drop that on my 40th birthday in December. Hopefully it work out. But you already know we got something really in the cauldron right now, like something that we, yeah, yeah. We got
yeah,
that yeah.
Absolutely.
Right now. That Four Horsemen project, you know what I'm saying? We piecing that together as we speak. You know, that's me, Lord Nexus, and Slick Dub. And to be honest, you already know who planted that seed, right, Prez?
I have a pretty good idea. got to be Brother X and Box, man. It's got to be.
No,
it's,
you.
It's got to be.
No,
it was you.
You, Prez,
it was you.
You planted that
man.
Seed. After Ryan.
I had no idea. I had no idea I did such a thing. But now,
yeah,
now I feel very honored. Because
yep.
That's a hell of a lineup.
During that Rhyme Animal interview, you was like, what would happen if all of y'all actually worked on a project together? And I think right after that, Dub said, hey, if it's in demand, we're going to do it for a horse. And,
yep.
And we roll with
it. We roll with it.
That's beautiful.
And
that's beautiful.
Man. All you want is the benefit. Text messages flying. That's all you need to know. There's a lot of, text messages flying.
It's,
a lot of
it's only right.
Emails. Yeah, it's time. It's time. I think a lot of people going to be, you know, looking for it, like listening for it, looking for it, because they know we substance and content and bars. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In a time where, even not even speaking on the mainstream like that, but in a time where you see all the Grammy, you know, all the Grammy nominations are super MCs.
Yeah.
It's a time where
making
so that's
a comeback, man.
But that's letting you know that people, I think people been inside looking at the walls too long. They like, man, I don't want to hear this shit no more. Like,
yeah.
Real shit.
Yeah.
Like, bro, put on something that means something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So why not? A pandemic bring the four horsemen. Yeah.
The other music is good when you're around people. But if you're sitting off to yourself in a zone of thinking, you want something that will help you think.
Exactly.
So it's time for it. Yeah, it's time for it. Literally, it's our time.
Yeah. Yeah. We about to let the world know it's out with it, too. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
I
got a quick question for you, Box, before we get off. And it's going to be real quick because it's something I want to know, and it's a perfect place to ask. How did you mold your style? You have one of the most unorthodox style. We done did joints together, and it's been such an honor because it's like far with somebody that's excellent on the speed bag. I mean, you so quick with your words. Where did that come from?
It really come from I always was a writer. I always read. And what it was ever since Biz Markie was the first, that's what made me fall in love with hip-hop, was Picking Boogers. So I watched, and I said, how can I do it like that? How can I do it like that? How can I do it like that? But yet, back then, late 80s, early 90s, you couldn't bite nobody's style. So I said, I like how Busta Rhymes do it. I like how Mystical do it. I like how Tupac do it. I like how Scarface do it. I like how Nas do it. I like how AZ do it. I like how Meth do it. You know what I'm saying? I like how RZA do it. And I like how Kool G Rap do it. And that's how I was as a kid, before I even rap. I was rapping before I rapped for people. So I just sat with all of them and said, okay, I want to do it. And then I understood your voice was an instrument. So the thing with me is I go looking for what's missing out of beat. Because when I make a beat, sometimes I put too much stuff in it. So I go and I look for a beat and say, what will my voice do in this beat? Or what melody or what cadence or what rhyming pattern would it do? And that's when I do it. And then sometimes when I go tell somebody and say, I'm the second hi-hat, and then they go listen to it, and they're like, holy shit. And I'm like, I'm the drum roll. And they go like, holy shit, I'm the 808 that didn't go through. Or you know what I'm saying? I'm the muffled. And then when I tell people that on certain songs, they're like, what the fuck wrong with you? Like, how you even thought of that? And I'm like, I've been doing that since I was 7 or 8. And that's why I always encourage the young kids when I know they rap or when I know they write when they 8, 7, 9 years old, I say, study everybody. Understand it, learn it, and create yourself. So by the time you're in your 30s and 40s, people know they can't really get down with you, or if they get down with you, we got to go hard. We going to be sweating in this bitch. We going to go ball for ball. That's like me and you, exit. We going to go. We going to go. Exit, you ready? Let's go. We going to go. You know what I'm saying?
Guaranteed.
Like next is, that's how I be. That's how I be with next. We going to go. And that's how I be with a few niggas. You see, you hear me on the track, and you see, and you hear the best come out of me. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I like to get on a track where everybody's going to make the best come out of me. Because I can make, put together a song for the radio, or put together a song that's just going to be easy on the ears, because majority of winning season is easy on the ears. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I can see that, but I want to get on a song where it's be like, you listen to this shit in 5 years, and you're like, you heard what he said. You heard how he said it. And that's really what do it for me, brother. That's what really do it for me, is I want to be when you can reinvent or reinvent the wheel, in a sense. Or you come back and you go back and listen like a Daddy Kane, Big Daddy Kane verse. You can go back and listen to a lot of Big Daddy Kane verses, bro, and be like, this nigga created the whole 90s flow.
Yeah.
He created.
Literally played a grand influence in me doing it. Like, literally. That was my idol. So I can't even deny that. So you right. But you break boundaries. It's like we write within brackets. You take them brackets and it's like you push them walls so far apart. Well, we'll put 7 words in a bracket, you'll put 17.
I know, but that's that Pharoah Munch shit. That's what I grew up watching, Pharoah Munch.
Yeah.
That's watching Pharoah Munch. Me watching Pharoah Munch do it, but the thing is, actually, we from the South. So we deliver shit differently. So it's dope if you can deliver it like you from the East Coast, West Coast, and the South in one verse.
Exactly.
And that's what I learned all of them.
Neither of you can be placed in a box. It's like what AK Do or Die told me one time. He's like, when he's rapping to a beat, he's like, you got to become part of the beat. And you got to be able to ride the beat. You know what I'm saying? And go where it goes. And, you know, coming from a guy that doesn't know what rhythm is, you know, but that's what AK explained to me.
You got it.
Shout out to AK.
You got it out this world.
You know what it is, man. I appreciate what you guys do, man, because it's very complicated. People think it's easy. Oh man, I'm just gonna get a beat and rhyme. It's not that easy, you know. Especially you know guys like yourself who go real complex with it.
We make it complicated. we challenge ourselves every time we touch that pen.
We transcend time. And that's the thing what everybody got to understand. That's what I try to tell rappers. And, you know, I understand it's a hustle. I understand you want shine. I understand you want stun. I understand you want the bitches. Whatever. But can you transcend time?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Will your music be...
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Will your music be valuable
25 years from now.
25 years from now, man, I uploaded all a lot of my old music on my website. And every now and then I get a DM or I get a comment like, bro, when you did that, I did that when I was 19, 20. They're like, what? I'm just now catching on to what you said just now. And that make me smile. You know what I'm saying? Years ago when Instagram first started, I put something up there, and this is what everybody used to like, everybody picture and comment, and it wasn't really about whatever, bruh. And fucking Cool Herc liked my shit and said, dope. That was a fucking Grammy to me, man.
Wow.
I still got this thing saved in my phone. That's,
now, that's going back.
Nigga,
Cool
that's
Herc,
a Grammy
that's the beginning.
Man, if he told me that's dope, I won.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
That's a godfather.
It's like Bill Russell saying, you got a great jump shot. You know, I mean.
But,
yeah.
Right, man. I traded words with fucking Keith Murray. And Keith Murray, when he was down here doing a lot of shows, ran into one of my videographers, and we said we was going to do something. It just never happened. And Keith Murray was liking my post, and he had overdue. And he liked it. And Keith Murray said, you dope. Nigga, what beautifulest thing in the world? Come on, man. And now I'm jumping up right now. That's what I love. And that's the era, and that's hip-hop to me. You know what I'm saying? And I just try to, when I run across the youngsters now, I did that for years, but now I'm kind of reserved with it now. I hold my energy. But when I see the certain ones, I just say something in their ear. Like, not to get long-winded or nothing, but it was this youngster doing the show up here for CIAA one year, and we was doing something that Chuck T, shout out Chuck T, DJ Chuck T from up here in North Carolina. You know what I'm saying? He was doing something, and I went there, and I was doing a show, and everybody rapping, and this nigga was rapping pain and real street shit, and I felt him, and I could see. I don't even know who this little dude was. I don't even know who his name is. Not. I hope he good, but I grabbed him, and I said, don't do that. He said, what? I said, you really talking about some shit, and you really about that shit. Don't do it. He just looked at me. I said, bro, you got talent to become next level. Focus on your rhymes. Go get a job at McDonald's if you got to. And he looked at me stupid. And I said, I'm serious. And hopefully that little dude took it, and hopefully he'll hear this, and he took what I said. But that's what I do now. You understand? When I'm like, he got skills, and I feel what he's saying. It's real. Some of these niggas be rapping, no knock to them, and I know they full of shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you full of shit. But he rapped it, and I felt it in my soul, so I had to tap him and say, you talented, and what you're saying is real. Put it in a verse. Go work at McDonald's. Write your frustration by working at McDonald's on that paper. You know what I mean? And that's what it's about, bro. That's what it's about. Bro. I love you, Pop. I love these conversations. I wish you could do them forever. Here? Yeah, that's real, bro. That's real, man.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, man.
And everybody, please go to boxamillion.com, box with two X's. Check out your website. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure you got merch and stuff and links up there. But I want to give you the floor, brother, before we get out of here. We do have one more track called So Many Losses. I want to make sure we get to that. But before I do, I want to give you the floor. It's all yours, Box.
What was the album? Box a Million on the Dawn, Kindness Landry, whatever you want to call me. Make sure you go to boxamillion.com. That's BOXXAMILLION.com. Winning Season is streaming everywhere. You can follow me on Instagram, Facebook, anywhere. That's Box a Million, two X's with no Lexus, next door to Texas, Louisiana. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to the Four Horsemen, you already know. That's coming soon. Me, Exit Only, Slick Double, Lord Nexus, a.k.a. Damian Neville. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Ice Mike. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to my little cousins, Troop, my little cousins, Jay Geechee, my little brothers, Double Paradise. Shout out, you know, everybody that I deal with. I could go names. Also, the other direct family that I'm direct connected to, Division One. Mia Ariana just dropped her single. Much props to her. Rico Love, the whole Division One. Sleep was out. You know what I'm saying? Look, bro, all I'm doing is saying this, bro. Support everything we're doing because we're not stopping. Underground All-Star Publishing 2. All this y'all tap in with them and get the true game and get the true understanding and overstanding of ownership. You know what I'm saying? But shout out to everybody. Prez, Murder Master Music Show. This is La Familia. You understand me? BoxAMillion.com. Everybody who lost anything, it's time to win. You understand? The gates are open. Let's get it. Peace.
That's what I'm talking about, man. Hey, thank you so much. Always an honor. Man, let's give them this track. So many losses, man. Why don't you break this one down?
All right, so many losses. This track was made by my little cousin, DP the Monster in New Orleans. You know what I'm saying? Love you, boy. You know what I'm saying? You move through them trenches and you still keep your head on the swivel and your head up. You made the track, and so many losses was he sent me that track, and that's what spoke to me. You know what I'm saying? And I just spoke on all the losses I've been through in life. I had to actually shrink the actual song down just to make it fit. But I tried to give it the trap feel and tried to give it the updated sound and the updated sonics, and I spoke on my losses and saying that it's time to win. You know what I'm saying? I lost so much, I should be winning, but every opportunity passed me up. But I'm still going no matter what, and I'm chasing this win. And until you get put in the grave, man, you chase that win, bro, because it might come early, it might come late, but it'll come. Just don't give up. So many losses.
Definitely, man. Thanks a lot, Box a Million, Exit Only, Lord Sinister. Man, we're out of here, man. Hell of a show. UJazzForLife.com.
Man. Life is short. And in this short life, you don't get too many chances, too many opportunities. I've had so many chances and so many opportunities, but nothing ever lined up right. I just like to thank God I'm still here to give it one more push.
We should be ballin' now. Took so many losses, so tired of falling. We should be flossin' now. Took so many losses, so tired of falling. We should be ballin' now. Took so many losses, so tired of falling. We should be flossin' now. Took so many losses, so tired of falling. We should be ballin'.
My pops come up from nothing. Everybody focused on what he wasn't. I know we're not Robinson with a fail of destruction, but no excuse in not making something out of 11 kids. Shit, how the repercussions of my brother's death. Day before he got a call from an exec for his reps. How the trap caught me early on, so my songs mostly hurt in the walls of prison halls. And overall, extreme team was a dream that the Gretna boys envisioned. But me and Slim Dog couldn't finish the mission. Holloway took young me by CeeLo's beats with info blitz like damn, this ghetto commission. No limit, mama ain't cancer remission. Drink had answers, but the divisions of chickens ain't get a chance to clean it with millions. Lord, lost it all when Katrina water rose. Nowhere to go, banks closed. Took every seed my grandfather sold. Long road of separation, desperation, hesitating to hit the highway. Week later, got a call from Rico Love with a place to stay and a spot on his roster. But how can I tell my liquors? I just kicked an addiction to drugs. Plus, I knew a lot of niggas from the city and the A that was wildin'. Couldn't relapse and make
we
my
problems. We should be ballin' now. Took so many losses, so tired of falling. We should be flossin' now. Now.
in my name in a foreign lane. Guess it's time to be a grown man. Gotta make that change. Got a chick wanna change her last name. My new lane's all legal. Study the biz of this rap game. Do this and include all my people. Made it look easy to do, but the stress be so high. Constantly denying myself, cause you can't spell loyalty. What I split that pie. That's how I was raised. Saw the divide coming, but still stayed. Stopped trying to get on the same page. Knew them days was counted. Walked away and even turned down other money. The amount of attention I was getting, the best move was for everybody to back box. Some got complacencies, possibly others secretly hated me. Made me realize a lot. My accounts was drowning. Mortgage, wife, kids, bills. Ran through a few commas just trying to live. God crippled me like Israel. All while her got sick. My mama dying and I'm denying it. Yet still trying to give me. But see envy in so many like they don't see what I see. Everybody just like giving me. Hindsight 2020. What a year to encounter. Everything come full circle. Now I appreciate
we
all
should
who
be
still around. What's being accomplished?
Took so many losses. So tired of falling. We should be flossing now.
I just want to say I appreciate everybody that's around me, everybody I rock with. When I shine, we all shine. Let the commencement begin.